I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Sports Virgins, the podcast from Pomodo, where a pair of total sport novices, that's me, Amy Vose,
and me, Matt Richardson,
get to learn all about the world of sport. On this week's episode, we discuss Wayne Rooney.
Does Wayne Rooney now live in Derby? The FA Cup?
Seriously, this needs to be a film. It's got so much. It's got Wayne as the player manager. You've got the people with the kettles. Parenting.
I'm just a bit concerned that your first thing you went to was, you know when you push your four-year-old over? And referees. I bet every referee has had their head put in a loo and it flushed.
It's time for the Sports Virgins. Welcome back, Sports Virgins in lockdown. How are we all doing? We all right?
Yeah.
You're okay?
Yeah.
I feel like this is just life now, isn't it? This is just how we just live at home, we work at home, and we don't see anyone else.
I have started to go to bed at 8:30 because there's nothing else to do. That's the point I am at lockdown now. Of like 8:30, I'm like, get me in bed because I'm so bored.
I'm fed up of watching television. Like, there's nothing I want to do less than watch television.
Same. You know, I think listen to podcasts. You know, if you just joined us this episode for the first one, there's loads of these to catch up on. You're lucky, really. Yeah. I wish I was you.
Very good point. Very solid.
What about
point.
You, Dylan? Are you chilling?
Yeah,
you...
just you know. Do you know what? This is the highlight of my week because I get to interact with other people.
How does this affect the sporting world, Dylan? I mean, obviously, I have heard about a lot of players testing positive and stuff, but there's still things going on, right?
Yeah, so professional sport is still going on at the top level, but there's been a lot of disruption due to COVID in the last weekend, which we will talk about. But thankfully, sport at the top level is still continuing for now.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, it's
otherwise,
really...
what would you do, Matt?
You know what? That would be the final nail in the coffin for me, I think. If sport stopped, that's my life over.
Yeah, you'd be going to bed at 4 p.m, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Absolutely.
I saw a sporting story, and I'm sorry, Dylan, because there's a chance you might bring this up, but I was quite surprised, but I was quite inspired by Mark Wright, formerly of Towie, married to that Michelle Keegan, playing for a team in the FA Cup.
He did indeed, yeah. Crawley Town.
That's my sporting knowledge of the week. There we go.
But before Towie, I mean, I only know this because back in my days of being popular with ITV, I always used to get sat next to him at dinners, and he told me this several times.
Oh, God.
He was like a semi-professional footballer, wasn't he?
Wrong.
For years, but pre-Towie, like, that was kind of his life.
Well, I mean, I don't know to what level he got to, but he was in Spurs' youth team, but he never got signed, like, by the first team. So I think he was a promising youngster.
He was in the youth team at 30. He wasn't very good, actually.
But yeah, he's just signed for Crawley Town, but that is something that we're going to talk about. That was on my thing, list of things to talk about.
Interesting.
Yep.
I have nothing. Sport may as well not have happened. Like, I'm Schrodinger's sport fan. If I, you know, it both happens and doesn't happen because I don't know anything about it until you tell me.
So you didn't watch the skiing World Cup then?
I didn't, and I do love the skiing, but I didn't know it was on.
Do you know, I actually did. I love skiing. I ski. Nothing sounds like me saying, I ski, guys. I ski. No, I don't often. Like, you know, I've been on a few holidays. But I love skiing and I actually quite like watching. Well, I like watching it when they do tricks, you know, usually snowboarding and stuff.
Oh, no.
But see, I wasn't even aware of this.
I'm a big ski fan. Love the moguls. Love a slalom. When I was 13, not to out middle class you, Amy, but when I was 13, I'd skied for so long. I did the downhill racing school as a ski school. Like, I can bloody ski.
Oh, we found our sport.
Oh, yes. A sport where there is après ski. If all sports had après ski, I'd be there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Superb.
So maybe after the darts Christmas, party next year, then we can go on a little ski trip. When we get maybe to the 2 million listeners per week, yeah?
Okay.
Okay, cool. Then we'll go on a ski trip. Yeah, fine. Deal.
We could be like live from snow bombing. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, now we're talking. I'd love to go to that. Yeah, we tried to get a few wood jollies there.
I don't mean to, again, show off, but I did go about 5 years ago and we drove from Dover. Yeah, basically drove from Dover, like did the whole road trip. We dressed as Funhouse, me, my friend, we were Melanie and Martina, and then we had a guy with us. He went as Pat Sharp and we won the road trip on snow bombing. So it was, if I'm honest, it was a highlight of my life.
I have to ask, what is Funhouse, number one?
I beg your pardon. What on earth?
I know what Funhouse is.
I don't know what Funhouse is. I know who Pat Sharp is. 29?
I forget how young you are. Okay, I'm nearly, I am nearly a decade older than you. So Funhouse was the greatest kids' TV show of all time, where Pat Sharp, basically the kids went on the show and they went to all different parts of this Funhouse. You know, it'd have all sorts of activities going on. Melanie and Martina were the cheerleaders. They were twins.
On a children's show, they had twin cheer. That sounds a bit.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Matt perked up a little bit there.
Sorry, what was this about twin cheerleaders?
Oh dear. Anyway, we have digressed. But anyway, that's us. We found a sport we're passionate about, Dylan. This is exciting.
So yeah, I mean, the skiing World Cup is on, but it didn't get a huge amount of coverage, to be honest with you. But a British guy did win third. In the downhill, in the slalom.
We'll take it.
Especially when he's probably been training at the Bracknell dry slope.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is essentially a piece of carpet on a hill. So
he went to Switzerland.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
So that happening, but obviously that's not the main sporting news of the weekend. The main sporting news of the weekend was that it was my favourite week of the football calendar, which was...
Week it finishes.
the FA Cup third round. So I think we may have covered this in some previous episodes, but do you know the significance of the third round of the FA Cup?
Well, I'm going to hazard a guess. It's that basically you could get a massive club like Man United playing a tiny club like Oude BFC. That was a small town I lived near. I don't know. Is that right?
That's it. Yeah. So it's the round where all the Premier League clubs enter the draw. So, you know, they're not part of it in the first round, the second round. But some of the smaller clubs, if they've managed to get this far and if they draw against one of the bigger clubs, then there's some seriously big kind of David versus Goliath matchups. And also sometimes there's big upsets. So there's big sort of like Cinderella stories. And yeah, this weekend did not let down. It delivered multiple different stories.
So, like, for example, what would be a Cinderella-y kind of thing that happens at this?
A random team that's in the fifth or sixth tier full of, you know, part-time workers beating Liverpool or something. Do you know what I mean?
And that happens?
Yeah, it has happened in history. So this weekend, there's a couple of good ones. So I'll start from the beginning, where Friday night was the first round of matches for the weekend, and you had Aston Villa playing Liverpool, which obviously isn't a big story, two Premier League teams. But the story here is that Aston Villa basically got COVID. So rather than cancelling the game, they played their academy team, so their under-23s, but most of the under-23s had trained with the first team, so they couldn't play. So they basically went down to the under-18s. So they had most of the under-18s playing against Liverpool in the FA Cup.
Well, like 12-year-olds or something.
Well, yeah, there were 16, 17-year-olds.
It's wild in sport how young, in football especially, young they all are in their prime. But they're these kids who are still at school playing proper professional
millionaires. One kid, a guy who's 17 years old called Louis Barry, he actually scored. So they were losing 1-0 and obviously expected to get thrashed. But this kid ran in from halfway and scored a dream goal. So 17-year-old scored against Liverpool's first team, which was pretty cool. So that happened on the Friday night, and then Chorley Town. So they beat Derby County. So Derby, who are in the Championship, and managed by Wayne Rooney. So that was a massive upset.
Does Wayne Rooney still play?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, so he's a player.
So he plays and manages.
What? I didn't know that.
How do you fit that in?
It's not uncommon to do. You know, sometimes you do get player manager. It's not like very often that it happens. But
doesn't that mean that he just picks himself all the time? He's like, oh, team sheet.
He doesn't play for Derby, though, does he? He plays for a bigger team.
No, he plays for Derby. So he is the player manager of Derby, yeah.
This is madness. What?
Sorry.
I'm surprised.
Does Wayne Rooney now live in Derby?
I suppose it's not that far from Manchester, is it, really?
So Rooney played for Man United, obviously. He went to Everton. Then he went to the US. He played for Washington, DC, or DC United, or someone in the US for a couple of years, and was a big success story out there. And then came back kind of like thinking, okay, I'm just going to go into management. So he went into coaching with Derby County, but as a player coach. And then their manager got sacked, so he stepped up to be manager. So he's now basically player manager.
Is he good at managing?
Well, who knows? This is his first few weeks, so...
Oh, okay. Doesn't sound it. Does he, though? Every week, is he not like, oh, captain, this week is Wayne Rooney? Yeah. And just does that every week.
Is it like when you were a kid and Santa would visit your house and then your dad would come in and be like, oh, I've just missed him. Oh, and like, because he would also be dressed as Santa. So like, they're like, oh, Wayne, you wouldn't believe it. The manager was here. He's like, oh, I never get to see him. Oh,
no,
hang on. Let me pop out and find him.
They often don't actually pick themselves. Like most of the managers, a lot of them will put themselves on the bench thinking like, okay, I would rather be on the bench so I can sort of manage and be the manager from the side. But if they're losing and they're in the shit, then they actually, okay, I can sub myself on to sort of rescue the day.
Oh, that's like a real hero moment. Imagine Wayne being like, this isn't working, guys, step aside. And he jogs out and does everyone go wild like, way, Rooney. Because he must be still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess, I don't know how old he is now, actually. He must be sort of mid-30s by this point, so he's quite old for a footballer.
Okay, fine.
But yeah, he's still very good.
It's a bit like an Eddie Murphy film, isn't it? Where he plays everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. The manager's just Wayne Rooney in a fat suit, doing a silly voice. Oh, it's good to be here, lads!
But it's just fascinating. I just think that's, again, it's just really adorable. I just love the way he's like, oh, player manager, he'll pop on the pitch if you need him. It's just funny. It's like, this could be a film.
I think maybe. Do you
this
think
doesn't seem
things?
Weird to you, Dylan, but to us.
Is it no, one of those things where if a player gets injured, he's like, no, that looks bad. No, don't walk on it. Look, I think you're in shock. You don't realise how bad it is. I think you need to be sent off to go. And because someone who's going to, me, I don't need to. I mean, as he's getting his boots on, no, I can't.
Oh, it's just so embarrassing, guys.
But unfortunately Rooney's Derby lost to Chorley, however, again, largely due to COVID, because their whole first team couldn't play because of an outbreak. So it was largely Derby sort of academy or like second team, but still, for Chorley, who's a non-league town, to be beating a big major club like Derby is amazing. So they're now through to the fourth round, which is incredible.
That's great.
But so the thing is with Chorley, so them winning the last game, so in the second round, to get through to the third round was a major news story in itself. And in the changing rooms after the game, they filmed themselves singing a song, which is like their team song. So it's not your traditional song that you would think a football team would sing in the changing rooms after a game. It's a Adele, Someone Like You.
It's really odd.
Really? It's the most non-football-y song ever, isn't it?
And why have they gone for that?
Yeah, do we know?
No, I don't know. I've got no idea, but fair play.
In a Chorley accent as well.
Yeah.
Never the mind.
Fair play.
I'm going to get some hate mail for that. I always end up doing Chorley on tour, and it's always great. Lovely place. But they say Chorley. It's got that extra bit in it. But Chorley, where they've got that the accent. And they do lovely Chorley cakes.
But just an odd choice of song. They must be big Adele fans. Has Adele seen I saw it. It must have gone viral.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of thinking maybe they're from like East London, where Adele's from, but clearly that's not the case.
Look, I think the thing is, you're assuming that like no one has ownership over Adele. Adele belongs to us all. You know, she's very much the people's princess these days. So I think everyone likes a bit of Adele, don't they? But it's a weird. It doesn't feel like a song that G's you up. It's quite devastating.
Yeah,
and it gets how often they normally lose. They have to have an Adele song because they disguise them crying.
But that's the thing, it gets quite high. It sounds okay at the beginning, but when the chorus kicks in, it's an utter shambles. They're all just shouting.
I mean, it's a real brave choice.
Maybe more people should do some like ballads, as that, you know, rather than singing horrible songs about the players, every so often they just belt out Boston's I Want to Know What Love Is.
Oh, yeah, real power ballad. Throw some proper power ballad. You know,
the power of love, like whatever they're going to go for. I think that's probably going to be better for football.
Or a bit of John Farnham, You're the Voice. That's quite most inspiring, isn't it?
That's too inspiring for these people.
Do you think?
It needs to be a bit sadder than that.
Foreigner, you know, like, I want to know what love is. Because you've got the passion there, but the pain as well.
Absolutely great. Or maybe like Oxford United, they could sing Radiohead, Creep, because they're a local band, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like that would just, you know, make the other fans that uncomfortable.
That is so weird, the thought of a load of lads in a football changing room singing
I'm
Creep.
A creep. Like, statistically, probably one of you is.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So the other interesting story from the Chorley Derby match is that due to the weather, the game was nearly cancelled. So their groundsman slept on the pitch overnight in a tent to make sure that the ground was playable. And loads of people from the local village or town, whatever, were out pouring hot water onto the pitch to make sure that the game could be played.
I was going to say, one man in a tent's not going to warm up enough of the pitch to play on, is it?
Yeah. Well, they were just like running down the road with the kettles and stuff.
Yeah, so there we go. Something to add to the movie.
Seriously, really this needs to be a film. It's got so much. It's got Wayne as the player manager. You've got the people with the kettles singing the Adele song. Make this a movie. Adorable.
Come on. I mean, Ryan Reynolds, step in.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, this is why he's doing it, isn't it? This is why he's doing it. He can see the value.
So Chorley beat Derby and obviously in the draw for the fourth round. But then, like you said earlier, Crawley Town with Mark Wright stealing the limelight. So they're not quite non-league, but they're in League Two, and Leeds United are in the Premiership and going quite well. So it's still, you know, a huge mismatch.
Who won that one, sorry?
Well, Crawley Town won 3-0. And there was no COVID sort of restrictions or whatever on Leeds. It was their full whack. And Crawley won 3-0. Well, he was on the bench, so he just signed the week before.
I wondered, the cynic in me, and this is probably an awful thing to say, but because I'm sure he's very good, but he is quite like late 30s, isn't he? But mid 30s. But is there a part of them signing him because it's like a bit of a draw? Like, you know, the way that there was a club that signed Beckham because they'd make X amount on the shirts just by signing David Beckham. Like, is there a bit of it's a good PR move?
Yeah, it could be. It could well be that. A lot of the football purists and the sort of journalists were, you know, bemoaning the fact that he's stealing the limelight. You know, the fact that Crawley beat Leeds 3-0 is a fantastic football story, but it's overshadowed by a reality TV star.
But we were all talking about Crawley when we probably wouldn't have been.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because I didn't know about the Chorley stuff, but I did know about Mark Wright because that was everywhere. Also, I think it's a really inspiring story that in your mid-late 30s, you could still play for a professional team. I'm into that.
Yeah, agreed. So,
are you hoping that you get the same opportunity, Amy?
Yeah, not for football, but like maybe a ski team. I mean, think of Cool Runnings, Matt. That could be us in a few years.
That could be us in a few years.
Is that because of all the skiing we're going to be doing this winter?
We're just going to. Yeah, you know what? People are going to be so jealous of our little jaunts, our little podcast holidays that we get to go on.
I mean, Matt, sponsored by
a mattress company, probably.
Yeah.
Your winter sports repertoire is quite impressive. You've got your ice skating that you're doing at the moment. You've got your skiing, you know.
It's very much like I picked the wrong climate to live in for this.
Yeah.
I should have grown up in Russia.
That would have been fun.
Where you pick ice skating at 3 years old and then never see your family again until you get a gold medal.
Oh, dear. We shouldn't laugh.
But back to the FA Cup. So the biggest story of the weekend and the biggest mismatch in FA Cup history was when Tottenham Hotspur played a team called Marine. I don't expect you to have heard of Marine, but I only know that it's a place in Merseyside, so near Liverpool. They're in the eighth tier, so obviously Spurs are Premier League, sort of, you know, constantly top four, top five, and Marine are in the eighth tier. So there's 161 places in between them in the sort of the league pyramid.
Wow.
So it's the biggest difference between clubs ever in FA Cup history. And it was in Marine as well, which is great. So, you know, these big Spurs superstars and Jose Mourinho went down to this little village club.
Unfortunately, it's a shame that no one can go and watch that.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the irony, though. Even though, yes, a massive shame that the crowd couldn't be there. But ironically, there was a bigger crowd watching than it would have been in Tottenham Stadium, because there's no stand, or there's one tiny little stand behind the goal, but because there's no stands around the pitch, it's all houses. So everybody was in their houses and climbing on the wall, so they could actually watch.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's probably a few hundred people actually did watch through their back gardens. And in fact, Jurgen Klopp was there.
Was he?
He came over and he didn't come to us. He's too busy for us to come out and have a little drink. But
okay, I'll clarify this. It was somebody, for some reason, had a life-size cardboard cutout of Jurgen Klopp next to them in the garden watching the game.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
that's a really odd thing that we should absolutely get.
Yes. But yeah, so Marine, you know, a team full of plumbers and PE teachers and students and stuff. They played against, wasn't the full Spurs team, but many of the first teamers.
So what was the score? So did they win?
Nah, Spurs won 5-0, which is, you know, all right. I think it's pretty respectable.
I love that. I love that you're right. This is it's a special thing. I love the fact that this still happens.
Yeah, you know, it's doesn't happen in many other sports, actually. You know, you won't get this in rugby or cricket. You know, it doesn't happen. And, you know, quite often in the FA Cup, you know, these Cinderella David versus Goliath mismatches don't happen, you know, every single season. Just happened to be this season. There was about three or four of them in one weekend. We also had Morecambe played Chelsea, but Chelsea won that one quite easily. Blackpool beat West Brom, which again is a massive difference in their sort of standings in the league. But the last story around the FA Cup, something that happened on Monday night. So Stockport County played West Ham. West Ham won, so not a major story. But the talking point that I picked up from this was the manager of Stockport County refuses to do interviews on Sky Sports because... Because Sky wouldn't come round to fix his TV box.
No, yeah, no.
It's amazing.
So he'll give interviews to BBC, but he refuses to do interviews on Sky.
I love it. And also, that's if I was him, I'd be going, I would like to go on Sky Sports to moan about the fact they've never come to fix my telly.
Yeah. I would love, imagine that. That would just
being
be his
like, so how do you think the game went? And he goes, well, we'll just hold that for a second because I actually can't get any Sky at the moment. So my wife would be very proud of me doing this interview. However, she cannot see it.
Oh my God, that is such a principled man.
Wow. I just love the pettiness.
Yeah, I love it.
I love that.
Yeah, but also then we are talking about it now. So the fact he was very principled, maybe it's paid off.
It'd be great, wouldn't it? Hopefully they just, it'd surely just fix it.
Yeah. Is he calling the right number? They're not that bad. They're usually quite quick, Sky, I thought. But.
Yeah, but I just love that. So Alex Ferguson also had a 7-year standoff with BBC. I can't remember the exact reason for why, but he refused to do BBC interviews.
Really?
Yeah, seven years he did that, yeah. But the thing is, though, you know, at least, you know, he was at the top of his game. This guy, Stockport County, as if Sky Sports give a shit. But obviously, they play.
Like, I don't want to upset him, but like, my brother's on Sky Sports News quite a bit. You know, like,
exactly.
They're looking for anyone to talk. There's nine channels.
Yeah, yeah. So just to kind of top off the madness of the FA Cup third round weekend. So this was the last game on the Monday night, but the game was delayed for 15 minutes because somebody set off some fireworks outside the stadium.
What's going on with fireworks at the moment? I do feel like they're going off. They went off around my way about a week ago. It was like January the 8th.
Well, it's because they're in the shops because people didn't have proper New Year's Eve things. I think a lot of people bought fireworks. So
they're just bored.
They're just around at the moment and bored.
Right, okay. Stop it.
Yeah, it is bloody annoying, isn't it?
And you've both got dogs as well. Yeah, so exactly. It's even more annoying.
So yeah, so that was the FA Cup. So, you know, lots of material from that this week, lots of entertainment. It was a cracking
weekend.
I enjoyed
that.
And lots of sport on BBC as well, which is always nice to have the matches live on terrestrial TV.
I mean, I would just like to say that isn't good. I'm always really annoyed. I'm like, get this on a pay channel so I can watch what I want to watch on the BBC.
Now, that is a good point, actually. Yeah, that is a good point. So, you know, that was the major sporting news of the weekend. Things to look out for, which we will discuss over the next couple of weeks, is that the NFL playoffs is just starting. So basically, that's the knockout rounds of the NFL. But it's also the Snooker Masters. So it's the UK Masters, which is one of the biggest snooker tournaments of the year. So that's just started. So that'll be
great. Can you watch that so we don't have to? Is that all right?
Yeah, I
quite like watching the snooker.
No, so, I don't. It's
quite soothing.
Only if I'm trying to have a nap. It's lovely if you're trying to have a nap. Just that little...
It really reminds me, the snooker, of being home from school when you're not very well.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah,
like, it was always on when I was kind of like poorly one day.
That and doctors,
yeah, absolutely. It's the doctors of sport, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, I've tricked myself into thinking that the dog enjoys it. Because I swear when the snooker's on, she kind of looks at the TV and I'm thinking, maybe she likes the colours and the noises.
Dogs are colourblind.
Oh, shit. Anyway, don't spoil it. I'm using it as an excuse.
I think, but also,
when the kids are around.
Surely it's because there's 15 balls. Is it 15?
No, there's more than 15.
It's because all the balls on the telly, 20. That's why.
They love balls.
It's like my cat goes mental when there's a show, like a nature show with birds on it, like absolutely loses the plot. It's probably like a similar thing to that. It's just something they like on the telly.
So the last sporting news story we're going to talk to you is we're going to show you a video, actually. So,
snazzy.
Great for the listeners. But we're going to show you a video of this is in French rugby. So basically, the ref blows the final whistle and you can see there's a Fijian guy there who plays for one of the teams who's really excited that they won the game. And then as the ref blows the whistle and goes to walk off, he creeps up behind him and basically lifts him as if he's a rag doll and way into the air. And the ref's clearly freaked out.
It's not fair to give him a red card. That's so square. Like...
I get that
it's against, you know, he just got a bit excitable. He should be told off. Maybe a yellow or, you know, give him a ticking off. But
also,
it just takes the fun out of everything.
Yeah. Also, with that, like, everyone's horrible to refs all the time. And he's being really nice to the ref and including him. It's like, you know, when there was always that kid at school and like they were a bit of a knobber. And like, you know, you'd invite them to a party, be like, right, we're going to be nice to him for once. Let's get him along to a party. And then he tells your parents you're drinking alcohol.
Yes.
That's basically, it's that. And you're like, we've tried our hardest to include you in this, but you're being a prick. So you're not going to anymore.
That's it. That is just, you're bang right. He's ruined it for himself and all the other refs. Yeah, he is.
Knobber.
He deserves to get a referee's a winker.
I tell you what he deserves to get. You know. A refted.
Hey, here we go.
Clever. They're just...
Is this thing on? Hang on. Let me just... Yeah, no, it is. It's just about...
It's like, imagine if that ref had turned around and just like slapped his bum or something for a bit of fun. It would have been like, oh, isn't life great? That would have been so nice.
Just a little slap on the bum. Where's that these days in sport?
I just feel like everything's got so intense and like, you can't do anything a bit... Because if Gazza had done something like, you know, and Gazza did his pranks, didn't he, back in the day?
Yeah, he did actually. So yeah, Gazza gave the ref a yellow card once.
Did he?
Yeah.
Bring his own yellow cards?
No, the ref's yellow card fell out of his pocket and he picked it up and gave it to him. but again, though, talk about the fun police. The ref actually gave him a proper yellow card. Like, oh, you can't do that. He actually.
You know what? If I was Gazza, I'd just be like, well, I'm having that back then. There we go. You can't take the yellow card back off me to give me a yellow card. That isn't how this works.
They're like traffic wardens. It's just like, no,
you know,
knob
what?
Off.
I bet every referee has been at a dinner party. Someone said something a bit wrong and they've gone, well, actually, and then given the right answer. Every referee on the planet, I bet has done that.
Yeah. What a fun sponge. What a shame.
The best sort of incident of sports person, I mean, not really attacking the ref is too strong a word because obviously that's a bad thing to happen. But there was a funny one many, many years ago, a guy called Paolo Di Canio who played for, I think, Sheffield Wednesday at the time. And the ref gave him a red card and he was so annoyed, he kind of lashed out, just pushed him. But kind of like if you push your four-year-old, the four-year-old probably wouldn't fall down. But the ref did a really comedy sort of backwards fall and tripped over on his arse. And Di Canio got fined and banned for weeks for that.
I'm just a bit concerned that your first thing you went to was, you know, when you push your four-year-old over?
On a daily basis.
You know, everyone's got that reference, right? You know, your four-year-old and you push it. They don't really fall. They're just pretending, aren't they? Yeah.
But the thing is, any time a ref falls over or gets a ball hitting them in the nuts or something, that's the best thing from a Crows perspective. They love it. The Crows go nuts.
Yeah,
I bet they do. I bet they do. Because the refs are knobbers.
Yeah.
All I've learned on this podcast so far, like, I don't have any knowledge, but I leave every episode with a strong sense that referees are dickheads. The referee's a wanker. I've been told it for years and it finally fits. You know, I finally understand.
Yeah. Such a shame. Shame for themselves.
There's a song about it. Of course it's true.
Exactly. The other thing about refs being knobbers is that some of them,
it's a lovely word in a Welsh accent, that, by the way, isn't it? It's got a lovely little, really nicely, lovely, nice one. Sorry, carry on.
So talking about nutmegs the other day, some of them get a bit like clever with a nutmeg, so that if someone's doing a pass to another person and the ref's in the way, instead of just moving out of the way, they'll just like open their legs and let the ball go through their legs, like, oh, you know, I'm all cool, I'm just letting it go through my legs. And
I'm just one of the guys. Hey guys, I just got nutmegged, didn't I, guys?
Yes,
guys,
I don't think that's cool. It's like, I feel
you
like
you didn't yell nutmeg, but you nutmeg me. Yell nutmeg! Come on, man! Yell, like, I'm one of you.
But it's like, isn't like getting nutmegged a bit like getting a wedgie? So it's almost like the referee going, "Oh, give me a wedgie, aren't I cool?" No.
Oh my god! I bet every referee has had their head put in a loo and it flushed. Like, it just, and you know what? Good. Who watches a sport and goes, "Oh, I don't want to play it. I'd like to be in charge of the rules."
Yeah,
like,
well, that's it.
It's just. You know, well, we've got to respect the book. Oh, fuck off.
I hope there's some refs listening to this show.
I really do as well. And you know what? If you're a ref listening to this, fuck you. Go fuck yourself.
You're a knobber.
Well, I think that's a good note to finish off the sporting news. And
it's Matt's last episode of Sports Virgin this week, because he's been murdered by a referee.
Yeah, the Referees Association.
And before they murder you, go, "I'm giving your life the red card." Ah, fuck you! Just stab me already.
Well, he's had a very busy week posing on cardboard cutouts, but hopefully he's turned up for us this week. It's Jürgen Klopp.
Hello, Spot Virgins. Jürgen Klopp here. This week's spotting jargon is magic sponge.
Did you hear what that was?
Magic sponge.
Ever heard of it?
So there was a podcast called this for a long time that Rob Beckett did, and Ian Smith and Jimmy Bullard. That's the only reason I know what this is because I used to look at it and be like, oh, I hope they asked me on, but it's about sport. It's a football thing then, because Jimmy Bullard was on it.
Yeah, I mean, who would invite you on a sports podcast? It's madness, isn't it?
I mean, what a stupid idea.
It is. Well, it's not really football related. It's sport related.
I'd heard of it in my head, but it must have been for the same reference, Matt, because I've got.
Is it? This is a really silly guess, and I know it's probably not right. Is it that when you come off, like, there's something for you to like wipe your sweat with, and they all share it, and it's called the magic sponge?
Yeah, not really, but not a million miles away.
Is it? Is it like if a player's injured, they go, "Here's the magic sponge," and they put it on, and it's kind of like a placebo where it just makes you think. It makes you think that you feel better.
Like they're a four-year-old. Oh, the magic sponge is making your knee feel better, isn't it?
Yeah, or if you're too hot, it'll cool you down.
Now, I know you're laughing here and taking the piss, but that's actually what it is.
No, it's
what?
Not.
That's actually what it is. So in the old days...
No, it isn't.
No, it is. It is. So in the old days...
That's really funny.
Come on.
At the top level of sport these days, the physio is a very well-qualified physio. They've got all the equipment. There's doctors and all that stuff. But in the old days, and probably still at a lot of grassroots level, the physio is basically some bloke who's done his St. John's equipment, sort of St. John's certificate, with a bucket of water and a sponge. And if someone gets injured, he runs on, basically gives them the magic sponge, and then off they go. They're okay.
That's literally what it...
Yeah, that's it.
So football first aid is the same as primary school first aid, basically. So they just sponge it off and go, right, off, you're back on.
Yeah, whatever the injury, the magic sponge, and it makes them better. Yeah.
This is, do you know, this makes me just love sport. It always goes back to the fact it's so cute. Isn't it
it's so cute? Well, I suppose it just reminds you that, like, you know, it's not about, as much as football and rugby is now this multi-billion pound industry, like, it does go back to just a load of blokes having fun together.
Yeah.
And that's what this kind of thing reminds
Silly
you
Silly games. Just play it. It's just playing. That's made my day.
The fact that it was the thing that we laughed the hardest at because it was so ridiculous is true, is just made my week.
Wow.
So there we go. Next time you hurt yourself, you know what to do.
Magic sponge.
This is it.
So thank you, Jargon, for that. So the magic sponge. So there we go. It's a practical use in non-sporting context as well.
Amazing.
Wonderful.
Amazing.
Stuff. Really was.
My favourite. That's my favourite one yet.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favourite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So let's move on to Quiz Agabusi.
Ooh, tense times.
Yeah. So the score from last week is 65-57. So there's a 8-point lead from Amy, but okay, you clawed it back a little bit, Matt. But let's see how you get on with this one. So are you ready?
Yes.
Yes,
question
I am.
Number one. Who is England's record goal scorer? So we're talking football and men's, just to clarify. Answers, please.
Michael Owen.
Oh my God, I've written Michael Owen as well.
You're both wrong.
Oh, effing hell.
We spoke about him earlier.
Wayne Rooney.
Yeah,
it was between Michael Owen and Wayne Rooney, yeah.
I nearly put Alan Shearer.
Yeah, Shearer's up there somewhere. So it's Rooney's got 53, and then Bobby Charlton next, and then Gary Lineker. So I'm very surprised Amy didn't say Gary Lineker.
Oh my God, I've not even mentioned Leicester this
Where's
podcast
Gary Lineker
until
from?
Until now. He's from Leicester, Matt.
So Michael Owen is way down. He got lots of injuries and...
thanks a lot, Michael.
Yeah.
But thank God he's got such a sparkling personality.
Exactly. So question number two. How many points do you get for a foul in snooker? Matt?
Three?
Amy?
I've guessed three as well.
Why is it with you two both guessing the same this week? I mean, you're both wrong again, but you were close.
Whatever this technique is, it is not working for me, Matt.
It's four. Okay. It's four. But also, you could have had five, six, or seven.
That's so annoying.
So if you do a foul having hit the black or aiming to hit the black but hit something else, then that's seven. Then same for the pink six, blue five, but then all others four.
Okay.
Okay, so question number three. Oh, from two so far, both of you. Question number three. River Plate versus Boca Juniors is a derby match in which country? And the crowd goes crazy. Okay, guesses please. Amy.
South Africa.
Matt.
I've gone for Argentina.
The answer is Argentina, Matt.
Yes!
Oh my God.
Wow.
Amazing. I originally put the United States and I thought that was stupid because I thought Boca Raton, I was like, and the juniors, I was like, it's obviously kids teams, which is would be too niche even for this.
Well, so Diego Maradona played for Boca Juniors and it's one of the world's best derbies and the crowd goes crazy in the stadiums. Okay, well then Matt. So question number four, true or false? Two football teams from Scotland have played in the Premier League. Matt.
False. They've got their own league.
Amy.
I was going to say false, but for a different reason, which I'm now embarrassed to admit. So let's just go with false.
No, come on. Let's hear your reason.
I just literally thought it was a trick question and maybe one has played in the Premier League.
So you're going for true?
No, I was going for false. It's false that there's two.
Oh, right.
The answer is false.
Ah, yes.
Question number five. True or false? Two football teams from Wales have played in the Premier League. Amy.
False.
Matt.
True. I think Swansea and Cardiff have both played in the Premier League.
Matt, have you taken drugs?
What? I mean, are we talking about specifically today or generally? my mum listens to this podcast.
Well, you are correct. Yet again.
Oh my God.
Three in the trot.
I've had a big old line of football. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
That's why they call me the linesman.
2021 is your year. It's happening.
It really, yeah. You know what? It's been awful for you, Amy, but it's been great for me.
So the background here is that many people think that Rangers and Celtic should join the Premier League because they're so dominant in the Scottish League. It's basically a two-man league every single year.
Why have they never? What's the process for them to join?
I don't know, but probably it boils down to money at some point. But also, I guess the Scottish League would die without them. So
fair enough.
But on the flip side, Wales have never really had a strong football league. So Cardiff and Swansea, and also Newport, also play in the English league system, although they never got to the...
Yeah.
Cardiff and Swansea have both been in the Premier League in the last like 3 or 4 years.
Newport, your ball gets stolen as soon as you start playing, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that is not wrong, actually. So
if you're listening from Newport, I'm surprised you've still got a phone.
So I played a under-19s match in Newport, and are obviously playing in the away changing room, and our changing room got robbed.
Yeah, that's not a shock.
Gosh.
Yeah, and this is in a proper stadium as well. Proper stadium, not like a little one. Anyway, question number 6: what world record does Jonathan Edwards still hold? Matt,
most cream eggs eaten in a minute. it's the triple jump is what I think it might be. Jonathan Edwards.
Okay, Amy.
My instinct was to say hurdles.
Okay.
That is a thing,
right? Hurdles. It is a thing. You've probably confused him with Colin Jackson. The answer is triple jump.
Oh my God, Matt.
What is happening?
Are you Googling?
No. Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
I mean,
I guess,
very easy. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like all that track and field does merge into one a bit though, Amy. I understand why you're getting this.
Yeah. Well, I guess, hurdles, you jump, triple jump is a jump, so yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there is. They do both have the same.
There is a logic. It's track. I mean, it was track.
It shows how sort of poor Great Britain are in athletics, I suppose, that we say Colin Jackson was the hurdler and Jonathan Edwards was the triple jumper. Although there's that guy, Greg Rutherford, wasn't he? He was a triple jumper as well.
He was quite good as well. He won gold. Did he win gold or silver?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he made him one.
He won it. Yeah. He won a good enough medal that he did Strictly. That's all
exactly,
you need to know.
Exactly. Yeah, he did. Okay, so Matt, let's see if this role can continue. Question number 7. Name one NFL team nickname.
Just pick a city and an animal and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's gone. Miami Dolphins. I know that's not right. That's baseball, isn't it?
Okay, Matt?
I've also gone Miami Dolphins.
Well, you're right, actually. It is NFL.
No! So, yeah.
Thank you, Ace Ventura.
What? That's amazing. Yeah. Oh, what a score. Okay, brilliant.
Okay, so question number 8. Back to dead or alive.
Okay. I love this game.
The most uncomfortable question. Go.
Jonah Lomu. Do you know who he is?
Yes, yeah.
We should start naming people we definitely know are alive as a threat. Yeah. Like Gary Lineker, dead. Watch out.
Matt?
I've gone for alive.
Amy?
He died, sadly.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, you said that with such conviction, but I thought you didn't know.
No, I did, and I thought that was really tragic because he was extraordinary, wasn't he?
In the 1995 World Cup, or if you've seen the movie, the one with Matt Damon
Invictus.
Invictus,
Will Hunting.
Yeah. No, Invictus. So if you've seen the movie Invictus.
The Bourne Identity.
Lomu's the big guy in the wing, basically. So back in the days when rugby players weren't massive like they are today, or you had massive players in the forwards and smaller guys in the backs, Lomu was enormous. So he was, 6'6", 18, 19 stone, and could run faster than everybody else. So he was an absolute freak of nature, of which the sport had never seen before. Like these days, you have people that size playing that position. But in those days, it was never seen before. And he completely transcended the sport. And yeah, it was a phenomenon. But he had a kidney problem. So I'm not sure exactly what problem it was, but yeah, he ended up dying of kidney failure at the age of something like 41 or something years ago. So
yeah,
very
really
sad.
Anyway, back to the quiz.
Sorry,
back to the quiz. Right.
Do nice and easy for older people. Sorry, go on.
nice and easy one for question 9. Name a Spanish sports person.
So you know who just came straight to my head.
One Spanish sports person.
Bloody Federer.
Big Rog.
No, I can't. I don't know any. Antonio Banderas is an actor. Oh, this is really hard. Okay, I can't go first. Let Amy go first.
Okay, Amy.
Fernando Alonso? Fernando Alonso?
Yeah, well done.
Is that right?
I've got this guy, he's mentioned quite often in football, is Juan Nil. Pete Sampras.
Unfortunately not. I guess he does look a bit Spanish.
You've got the, this is the whole Roger Federer issue. This he is, looks Spanish, he's American.
Is he American, Pete Sampras? Oh, there we go.
Is it because he's got a hairy chest again? Is that the reason?
You know what? Maybe Amy and I are just a bit have quite dated views on our Mediterranean friends.
So two of the greatest tennis players in history that happen to have hairy chests, you both think are Spanish.
Spanish.
I still think Federer is Spanish.
They both look like they'd really appreciate a sangria. So that's I think that's probably it. Isn't
I
it?
Mean,
you could have said Rafa Nadal, who is one of the greatest tennis players in the world. But no.
I always think he's Portuguese, and there is a good reason. My friend's parents have got a place in Portugal, and they know him, and they always see him. He lives in Portugal.
Okay, so on to question 10. What sport did Ben Ainslie play? Or partake in rather than play, maybe is a better way of putting it. Matt, do you want to go first?
Cycling.
Amy.
Sailing.
See, Matt, you've fallen foul here of the in the Olympics where we win all the medals. Generally, it's either rowing, cycling or sailing, and it's sailing.
It's one of the three, isn't it? To have a knighthood, it's going to be one of those.
Yeah, it's sailing. So yeah.
And he married Georgie Thompson from Sky.
Did he?
Yeah, so he did.
I sort of started strong and then really tapered off at the end there.
Yeah, but it was a draw this week, so 5-5 this week.
Oh, okay. So the gap hasn't widened. That's, for me, is a win.
The total scores this week are, if I can do some quick maths, are Amy at 70 and Matt at 62.
I think I laughed harder in that episode than ever. Like, my face hurts a little bit. Yeah, the FA Cup stuff, the referee, and then there's the magic sponge. I mean, that's honestly, in a dreary old lockdown, that has made my week.
I think I'm going to start using the sponge we use to clean the plates and things. I think I'm just going to give it a second job, especially because if someone gets injured now, the hospitals are very busy. So I want maybe the magic sponge is going to be the way I deal with anything. You know, if I get tested positive for COVID, God forbid, just the magic sponge is all I'm going to do because I don't want to leave the house and go and infect anyone else.
Like when your girlfriend Sam, if she's feeling a bit sad and teary about something, go and get the magic sponge straight in her face. She'll love it.
Squatch.
What could possibly go wrong? I feel like we need to thank Dylan and Just Sport this week for being really good, really exceptional.
Well done, you Sport. Well done. Great Fantastic. Work, Dylan and Sport.
Brilliant. Thank you for listening to Sports Virgins, a Pomodo production. Please follow us and like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can follow us on your social media platform of choice. We are at Sports Virgins. Follow us, tell us some sports facts, or more preferably, tell us that you know less than us.
That would help. Or any kind of sporting stupidity, please.